Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Sowing the seeds of cannabis and sounding the praise of our favorite plant, it's time to Hemp Present. Our radio resident hemposapien Vivian McPeak will present a weekly platform for guests and listeners to Hemp Present about hemp and cannabis from the legal, activist, and reformist route. Let's round up and roll it up for our headmaster of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
Welcome to the Hemp Present Resistance, the weekly radio podcast where you can get your PhD in THC because you don't just want to burn it. You want to learn it. Seeking to defeat the alternative facts of prohibition one interview at a time and advocating for the plant, the whole plant, and nothing but the plant. Join me for a weekly reefer radio rebellion against prohibition as I speak with some of the principal risk takers, movers and shakers, and history makers of the cannabis industry, culture, reform movement, and beyond. I'm your host, Vivian McPeak. I am the executive director of the world's largest annual cannabis policy reform event, the Seattle Hemp Fest. In its 27th year, founded hempfest.org. I'm also the author of the book Protestival, a 20-year retrospective of Seattle Hemp Fest from AHA Publishing, also founded hempfest.org. Today's guest on Hemp Present is David Borden, founder of DRCNet Foundation, commonly known as StopTheDrugWar.org, who joins me in about 1 minute. As bad as our criminal justice system might be for those accused of drug crimes, we here in the United States enjoy some constitutional rights that have survived the ravages of prohibition. But the citizens of many nations have almost no rights. And since the United States played such a central role in advancing the global war on drugs, Americans may have a responsibility to remain informed, engaged, and active in advocating for global human rights, judicial fairness, and sane, humane drug laws. And now that multiple American states have moved to legalize cannabis, violating international treaties in the process, there's even more reason for the U.S. to lead the charge in introducing a harm reduction model to the world in place of these immoral and unsustainable drug policies that are, frankly, counterproductive. Here in the United States, you know, the land of the free, we have created the world's largest prison population, and it is disproportionately comprised of people of color. $1 trillion U.S. taxpayer dollars plus have been spent to enforce the iron fist of prohibition, leaving federal and state budgets strained. Has that money all just been squandered? What if taxpayers received for our investment? The worst opioid overdose epidemic in history, cheap, affordable drugs on the streets, and as I mentioned, the number one prison population anywhere. And in other parts of the world, the war on drugs has created opportunity for black market institutions to exploit the demand for drugs to fund violence and extremism in other regions, leaving some trafficking organizations more wealthy and powerful than the government institutions charged with policing them. Torture, public execution, Beheadings and the targeting of journalists have become commonplace in several societies, all generated by the catastrophic war on drugs. The majority of domestic organizations working on drug policy and criminal justice reform are nationally focused. But some organizations also fight the injustice being meted out by prohibitionist policies all over the planet. And my guest today leads one of those organizations. StopTheDrugWar.org was founded by David Borden in 1993 as the Drug Reform Coordination Network, or DRCNet, the pioneer organization for online activism and drug policy reform during the early days of the commercial internet. Since its inception, the organization has staked out a clear and unambiguous stance in favor of ending drug prohibition outright. In addition to being the executive director of StopTheDrugWar.org, David Borden is also a member of the boards of directors of Common Sense for Drug Policy and Flex Your Rights Foundation, and of the Students for Sensible Drug Policy Council of Advisors, where he is the namesake of the annual David Borden Friend of SSDP Award. Welcome, David, to Cannabis Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Let's start off with how and why did DRCNet, aka StopTheDrugWar.org, come into being? What drove you to take these issues on in such an aggressive, high-profile fashion?
Well, you know, during several years from when I got out of college, I came to feel more and more that I wanted to save the world or do my part in it. And in reading about lots of different issues, drug policy kept jumping out at me. I kept encountering one disaster after another caused or made worse by our drug laws. And so I had a sense early on of the potential for organizing on the internet, and I started a list, and a short time later funding happened to become available in the field, and so I was in a good position to receive some of it, and I've been doing this ever since.
You might say that your timing was impeccable, because it was when there was a lot of growing interest in the same kind of subject, I would imagine. David, obviously the social impact of drug abuse is very costly in terms of human lives, public health, state and federal budgets. You see enforcement as having a role in better drug policy, but not the central role. Can you describe briefly the regulation, health, and social program model that your organization advocates in place of current drug policy?
Well, we haven't staked out a position in favor of one specific model. You know, I think we would do well to experiment with different options. To some extent, that's happening right now with cannabis. There have been ideas worth considering put out by thinkers over the years. One of them, Judge James P. Gray, has talked about is that addictive drugs would be sold from pharmacies without a prescription in single dose packages with boring brown paper wrappers and a number, an 800 number to call for help. If he's still talking about that, he probably would run a website. There's another model, the late State Senator Joseph Caliber from New York, who represented an inner-city community. He wanted to have separate stores for hard drugs and then allow marijuana sales from what are now liquor stores, and as well as to restrict cigarette sales to liquor stores. So there are all different various different ways that can be thought about, and what's going to be the best is a complicated subject, one for research, and it might not be the same place in Washington State as it is here in Washington, D.C.
So basically, should all drugs just be legalized over the counter in some way?
We favor legalizing all drugs, but referring to the last question, I think they should be regulated and have helpful programs associated with them, as opposed to just legalizing them, which some people incorrectly react to as meaning a free-for-all.
Right. Are there any other countries, in your opinion, that have significantly better general models?
For sure. I was just part of a trip organized by the Drug Policy Alliance to Lisbon, Portugal, where we got to meet with organizations, NGO people, and government officials to learn about the decriminalization system there. It doesn't, in some ways, it doesn't go as far as the U.S. Cannabis has not been legalized. The government doesn't really want to be on the cutting edge of another part of drug policy, having already been on the cutting edge of what they're doing. But it's a huge improvement. It's a compassionate approach. Users and addicts are not criminals, and they're not treated that way. Czech Republic also has decriminalization. There are a number of countries in Europe and now Canada that offer a heroin maintenance programs for people who are addicted to that substance and who have tried and failed with the substitutes like methadone or buprenorphine. That's a big improvement. Not quite legalization, but it's legal for the people who are in the programs and been extremely helpful to them, in particular in avoiding overdoses or other health incidents. And of course, Canada is getting ready to do legalization. Uruguay has a version of it. There are definitely better places to look than the U.S. in most areas of drug policy and criminal justice.
Speaking of improvements,
by the way, the Dutch are closing down prisons at an impressive pace.
Speaking of improvements, in your opinion, were we making any advances under the Obama administration in terms of drug policy? And do you have any prognosis for the state of affairs under this current Trump administration?
When people ask me how it's going, I always used to say, it's the best and worst of times. Now I kind of think of it as the worst and best of times. the Trump administration is our enemy. Very little good coming out from it in drug policy. They're trying to push things back in a very barbaric direction. The president himself has called for the death penalty for drug offenses, and the attorney general put out a notice saying prosecutors should make use of the death penalties we have for some classes of drug crimes, which have never been used. Might be this conflicting jurisprudence on whether they're even constitutional. It's really bad. I'm hoping that criminal justice reform will survive. Most Republicans, even by now, want to move away from long prison sentences and drug policy that relies primarily on them. On the other hand, if politics and economics change and the budget is no longer an issue, it becomes easier to spend money again, particularly at the state level. That almost worries me more than the Trump administration as far as criminal justice. Marijuana policy, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'll cautiously say it seems like it's just going to move forward. It's a question of how many people will be hurt. But one never knows. We should be very concerned about the Trump administration, and in case we have any listeners who think of themselves as Trump reporters, I'd urge them to reconsider. Trump is our enemy.
I was very surprised yesterday to read an article saying that Jared Kushner has been aggressively promoting prison reform, and it was very counterintuitive to what we know. This is that time where we take our first pause for the cause, because there's a flaws in laws. Hear word from our sponsors. Advertisers, don't go anywhere. We're going to come back with our second segment with David Borden.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose.
We're coming right back.
Introducing 420 Cloud, ignited by MSIG, one of the fastest growing social apps around. The only app you'll need for all things cannabis. Find the latest cannabis news, videos, and stories, ranging from business and tech to sports and medicine. Start your career in cannabis by seeking, identifying, and applying for jobs through our expansive listings. For businesses, 420cloud.com features a full-scale cross-channel network, monetizing high traffic for big data conversion and analytics. Download 420 Cloud now from the iTunes Store or Google Play. MSIG.com is a publicly listed company on the OTC, symbol MCIG.
At Alternative Vibes, our core values of quality, loyalty, respect, and honesty guides us in our mission to help families find peace and harmony through our products and services. Whether you are looking for a more natural way of living, shopping for essential oils, topicals, and edibles, or searching for a path towards achieving your goals, we are your choice. Learn more about our complete line of natural products and solutions at AlternativeVibes.com. Bringing quality of living to life. AlternativeVibes.com.
Cannabis concentrates have been around for thousands of years. In 19th century America, extracts mixed with other herbs were sold as a miracle cure. Now, Apex Supercritical has elevated the science of extraction into the 21st century. Apex Supercritical is the leader in CO2 extraction, which is the cleanest, safest, and purest way to extract plant oils. ROI in as little as 3 weeks. Our cost-effective systems are fully automated with an industry-leading 3-year warranty. And if we don't have your system in stock, we can build one in as little as 4 weeks, bringing CO2 extraction to the masses. Learn more at apeksupercritical.com. 4-week build excludes high production systems.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong hemperer of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And I'm back with David Borden from grcnet.org. David, in 2014, DRCNet began work related to the April 2016 UN General Assembly special session on the world drug problem, UNGAS, organizing a coalition of hundreds of non-governmental organizations as well as some businesses, calling for a human rights-based approach to global drug policy. What can you report on those efforts?
Well, the UNGAS was a big mess in more ways than one. It was almost impossible to move around the building. Lots of people would travel there. Just big problems with access. It was absurd. But that's a bit of a digression. In terms of policy, there was some incremental progress in the UNGAS. I think arguably the most significant thing to happen was the increase in involvement by agencies, broader set of UN agencies, the World Health Organization, UN Development Program, Office of the High Commissioner on Human Rights, other UNAIDS, all prepared reports and had involvement in the policy discussion. Now, the people calling most of the shots in the member states on the commission they decided they wanted to get a draft which would be represent the final statement on before the UNGAS. So it was finalized and mostly behind closed doors at the Commission on Narcotic Drugs annual meeting the month before. And it was nearly done before it got there. It was not as open a forum for policy engagement as the three countries that had pushed for the UNGAS, which were Mexico, Colombia, and Guatemala, had hoped for. There was some good language. They didn't use the words harm reduction, but talked about public health programs, talked about human rights and the Sustainable Development Goals. So incremental, not all bad, and some good. Now, what's happening now is in next year, there will be a high-level ministerial segment to the CND meeting. CND, big annual meeting, is every year, every March in Vienna, and usually a week long. This one will be a week and a half long. Originally, it might have been an UNGAS. there was debate. There was some pushback over the call by the countries to hold in on gas just 3 years before, you know, saying they were going to have an ungas to prepare for an ungas. So what's happening now is a number of the countries that signed the ungas resolution, as everyone did, but didn't really like some of the things they signed on to, are pushing to have a prior declaration issued in 2009 be the guiding principles. And so, and I was at a, I got to attend a meeting, a briefing by the UNODC, UN Office on Drugs and Crime, and the chair of the CND in New York a couple of months ago, and representatives of those governments, some of the hardline Asian countries, were eager to speak up. So it's going to be a fight just to keep the limited language that we've already gotten. On the other hand, the Human Rights Council and the Office of the High Commissioner of Human Rights are doing a report, you know, in preparation for this. So the good guys are also at work and trying to keep moving things into a toward greater diversity in terms of the issues getting represented in the discussion and a greater emphasis on human rights. So think about how slowly things move in Congress. Then you think about there are 193 governments, all of them answerable, most of them answerable to their congresses, and the very different situations in their countries and different laws, all having to come to an agreement, and it makes sense that things would move slowly. We did not get breakthrough on the treaties that we hoped. Maybe we had a little bit of one, though. There were a number of countries speaking up about the need to reform them, which it was just a few, but that's more than zero, as we'd had before. Yeah, it's a long and slow and big project.
In March of last year, you also organized a side event at the United Nations in Vienna on extrajudicial killings in the Philippines drug war. And your organization, StopTheDrugWar.org, has been openly opposed to the atrocities of the Duterte administration, which, of course, President Trump has praised. What can you tell us about that?
And we actually did another one this year at the CND with a high-profile opposition senator from the Philippines, Antonio Trillanes. He was indicted for sedition the night before our event, probably not related to our event. It's been in the works, but it was interesting timing. Last year, the vice president of the Philippines sent us a video, but she took a strong stand against the killings, and the president's allies were able to use that against her, claimed falsely that it was tied to some other events of that week, and as part of a campaign by the vice president to destabilize the government. It was a weeks-long political crisis, and which of course was not what we intended, but was one way to get noticed, at least in the Philippines. So since that time, there are people who've continued to speak out. The vice president somewhat, though she did change her strategy, and it's a dangerous time there, both for if you're poor, you can be a target of these killings, or politically. They're trying to oust the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who's a critic of the president, and other people. On the other hand, reform forces are moving as well, and the ICC has launched a preliminary investigation into the drug war killings. So it's been an interesting time. Our event this year, there were Filipinos living in Vienna, some of them working at the UN, who showed up the event. Some of them pro Duterte, a few of them on our side. We caught the attention of the pro Duterte bloggers. There were some big news stories about the event. One of them was a fake statement purportedly that we issued, though nothing really offensive in the statement. So it's been pretty interesting.
My guest is David Borden from StopTheDrugWar.org. We're going to take another quick pause, hear a word from our advertisers, come back for our final questions. Don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested.
Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network,
founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption. Let's grow together.
The Cannabis Radio Network, cannabisradio.com.
Strainwise Consulting is the most sought-after consulting company for cannabis business applications and management contracts. We consulted on the first recreational license in the world and have had an over 95% success rate on applications submitted. The industry is growing at such an exponential rate that building a powerful and lasting cannabis business is a number one priority. Here's Strainwise's Sean Eubanks.
In our first 5 years, we branded and supported 9 medical and recreational marijuana dispensaries and approximately 160,000 square feet of sophisticated and efficient product cultivation.
Strainwise Consulting has the experience and expertise to guide you through the process.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Fuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Fuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Fuber way.
We're back to Hemp Present, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong Hemperer of Hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we're back with David Borden. David, what can the average person do that might feel passionately about these issues to support your great work? And how can people follow your work?
Well, we publish an in-depth newsletter, Drug War Chronicle. People can sign up on our website. One of the things we do with it is highlight the work of other organizations in the issue, some of which are state or local or have chapters or to work directly with activists. And so going to our website and reading the newsletter, signing up, and then checking out the groups we link to is one way to do that. People have a interest in the particular issues that we're playing a role in spearheading, the international in particular, the death penalty. We're going to be getting an effort launched on that, combining the international and the domestic aspects of that. They should email us and let us know where they live, anything, local involvements, organizations, connections they have, or skills, how they might like to get involved. A contact form on the website sends email straight to me. So that's one way to start. But, any of the other groups out there that people have heard of, checking those out too.
Well, David Borden from DRCNet, found at StopTheDrugWar.org. I've just admired your work for many years. Thank you so much for being on Cannabis Radio. Hempy Trails to you.
My pleasure.
Take care. Now we get to a feature of Hemp Present on CannabisRadio.com every week, and that's the quote of the week, and here it is. A war that has been fought more than 40 years has not been won. When you do something for 40 years and it doesn't work, you need to change it. That's Juan Manuel Santos, president of Colombia, in a 2016 interview. That concludes this installment of Hemp Present on Cannabis Radio. I want to thank Brasco, my man in the control room, all the Cannabis Radio sponsors and advertisers. Join me next week for some more reefer repartee and cannabis confabulation with some special Hempo Sapien on a journey to justice. As we silence the violence, increase the peace, and promote unity in the cannabis community with impunity. Because when it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find yours and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. Until then, my friends, stay strong, stand tall, and toke it easy, and don't forget to email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. The Hemp Present theme song, Take Back the Plants, performed by Sticker Bush and sung by a much younger version of myself. Turn up the music, maestro, because I'm out.
Marijuana, THC, sweet sativa, dicker cream.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.